Canucks Central Friday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? Visit Kintec.net. This hour of Canucks Central is brought to you by your Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. Every Vancouver hockey game gets $5 pints of Molson Canadian or Coors Light, plus weekly prize giveaways all season long at your local Lower Mainland Boston Pizza. It is a Friday. Canucks are on the East Coast, so you have an abbreviated version of Canuck Central today, an early version of Canuck Central today. In an hour's time, we will get deep into the pregame show, Canucks and Carolina Hurricanes. What is a schedule win for the Vancouver Canucks, Sat?
Yeah, a scheduled win. I hate that saying. I hate schedule win.
Which is precisely why I started the show this way.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because for all the talk that it's a scheduled win for the Canucks, right?
Yes.
What did the odd makers say for this one?
Yeah, Canucks are pretty heavy underdog. I think it's 2.5 on the money line.
So riddle me this. How can it be a scheduled win for Vancouver when you're heavy underdogs?
It's a scheduled win. Carolina played last night. Canucks should win.
I hate this saying. I hate it. It's stupid.
Hurricanes are on the second half of a back-to-back. Ipso facto, Canucks should win.
Ipso facto.
Yeah.
Okay, I like that. That's good.
Yeah?
Ipso facto, ergo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ergo.
Yeah.
Ergo is a good one.
That's a good one, too.
Yeah. Just another way of saying therefore.
We were talking about movies, right, that made a big influence.
Yes.
Like Matrix.
Yeah.
That's where that he's Urgel made a big comeback after the Matrix.
After the Matrix. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. We will get to the open in a little bit as Yannick Hansen is going to join us off the top of the program, our Friday analyst. One bit of news here in the lead up to today's matchup with the Carolina Hurricanes. Elias Pettersson is activated off of injured reserve and expected to make his return to the Canucks lineup tonight in Carolina.
Yeah, and it's been now a couple weeks since he's missed time, and it was kind of down to the player at this stage to feel that he's ready to come back. And hopefully, you know, with him taking, you know, maybe a few extra days, making sure he's 100%, that we get the best version of Pettersson that we've seen. A bit of a rest coming off the Christmas break, too. Had a bit of success. Is this a little reset for him? And maybe he can be healthier coming back to help this team.
His last game, obviously, December 23rd, just before the holiday break. He scored a couple of goals in that one, then exited the game for the third period. And so it was like, oh, man, Pettersson's coming out of it. Maybe the production is starting to follow. And then he goes out with an injury. Back into the lineup tonight, we do expect. And Thatcher Demko, your likely starter for Vancouver. Let's bring in our next guest. He joins us every single Friday. This analyst is brought to you by the Magnuson Auto Group, Metro Ford, Port Coquitlam, and Magnuson Ford in Abbotsford on both sides of the Fraser to serve you. It is Yannick Hansen. Thanks for this, Yannick. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing well. Expecting Elias Pettersson to come back into the lineup. Bit of an unfortunate circumstance for him. He gets a couple of goals against San Jose. Maybe he can build off that, and he ends up injuring himself later in the game. What do you hope to see from Elias Pettersson coming back off of injury?
Yeah, there's no question. Those two goals helped him, especially the second one. I like the shot. It's the shot we kind of remember him for, getting on the dot there in the offensive zone and then just picking a corner. That's what we remember when he was so dangerous, that shot. So it was good to see. And you had hoped that that was the turning point, if you will. And then he goes down, obviously very unfortunate. But yeah, I hope he can get back into the lineup and they can put this noise behind them. Winning will solve a lot of issues. A win tonight against a hopefully tired Carolina team will go somewhere. They played a good game against Washington. Liked it. Obviously, don't like the fact that it didn't get the 2 points. But out-chancing, out-shooting one of the hottest teams right now is never a bad thing.
We talk about, obviously, with everything going on with this team, response is important. You heard the general manager come out and talk about he expected more. The players had to face the music about it. We saw JT play better a couple games ago and even the other night in Washington. Is the team responding to that challenge and the noise in the proper way, you think, right now?
The only way they can respond is winning games. If this team was playing or sitting where they were last year at this point, where top of the pecking order, all this noise wouldn't be there because, yeah, there is a feud. But as soon as they're on the ice, it's all good. They're playing, they're on the same team, and they're winning. It's only because production is not where we expected, and the team is sputtering a little bit. That's why we're talking about this. So, again, winning, like I said, will solve a lot of issues. So if they can get, and it seems like they're getting healthy now, Demko back, TD back, seems like they're getting healthy. That will go a long way as well. Hronek is in Abbotsford, skating, playing, getting back as well. So if they can get full, if they can start winning, they can douse these flames real fast in no other way just than start winning hockey games.
You know, players, the players have said it a lot in recent interviews. Pettersson, Hughes, Miller, even Rick Tocchet mentioned it. Winning makes all of the noise go away. For as much as players know that, it's easier said than done to get yourself out of this little rut that the Canucks have been in. But, you know, what about it changes the mood in a locker room? You're just happier going to the rink when you got a couple of wins under your belt?
Yeah, it is. The sun is shining, it feels like. The weight off your chest, it's like the best way to put it. I know it's an extreme, but in the playoffs, when you play game one or game five, it doesn't matter which one, but you play a game at night, at 7 o'clock. You go out, you work your ass off, regardless of outcome. When you wake up the next morning, when you go for your practice, if you win that game, you feel light, excited, energized, and all of those things. You lose, it's like you're carrying around a boulder. And it is mentally, there's no question about that, because there's no change other than the fact, the outcome. And that's where that winning comes from. Life is easier. Everything is easier. You're not driving home worried, thinking, oh, we're going to miss out on the playoffs, or, oh, am I going to get benched the next game, or am I going to get traded, or all these things. No, they won't make changes. They won't. If Petey and JT start lighting it up, teams start winning, no changes will be made. The only changes that's going to be made is somebody's going to get added to this team. They're going to find a couple of players to help push them over to the top. And that's where the changes will come from. And that's where, if you start winning, all of this noise, media, we don't care if they don't get along in the dressing room. Mm-hmm. What we care about is the production isn't there and the wins aren't there. They could be hating, screaming at each other, yelling at each other. They could be fighting each other every other day in practice, as long as we're winning. They just say, oh, they're energetic, they're competitors and all these things. But because they're losing, oh, they're not best friends, oh, it's affecting their game and all of these things. So winning solves everything.
Yeah, and I mean, the wins also come after your best players perform. It's good to see Quinn Hughes back. And, you know, mentioned JT earlier had that 4-point performance in Montreal against the Habs and was also good against Washington. What are you seeing in his game? And is he kind of getting back to being that impact center he was last year?
You can hope so. You pray for it. Again, he has intangibles that you can't teach. He's got the skills to go along with the feistiness, the tenaciness. So if he can tap into that, again, production needs to be there. And that's the fine line with JT, where he has the skills, but sometimes the skills become a little bit, and he makes those blatant error that are so evident on TV and on highlights, where he's like, oh, you wish you hadn't done that. But again, it's part of who he is. But when he's at his best, he's making plays not a lot of other players can do. And at the same time, he taps into these things where you can't defend against him because, okay, you meet him with skill, well, he's going to run you over. You meet him with brawn, well, he'll fight just about anybody as well. So it's very hard when you have that package to contain it, because whichever way you try to throw at these guys, and you always try to play on to players' disadvantages. So like a really skilled, small guy, well, we'll try to hit him. Bigger physical guys, well, we don't want to get entangled with you, so we skate with speed, we play with pace, and then they kind of get left behind. But that's one of those players where it doesn't really matter which way the game evolves with JT, because he can adapt and he can be successful in that environment.
How have you liked Jonathan Lekromäki's return to the lineup?
Yeah, he's a goal scorer. He needs to score.
Yeah.
When he scores, when he produces, it's great. He's going to need to find those spots. Looks like his skating still needs to catch up a little bit. Not the fastest fleet of foot out there, but there's no question when he gets the puck in the right positions, like Brock, he knows where the net is. So he's probably a player that could, if Brock could take him under his wing and show him the ropes a little bit, how to get around without being the fastest player out there, he can find some success.
And I think what we're waiting to see is somebody emerging into the top six, because we talked so much in the offseason that they went on to sign DeBrusque, who has obviously done really well for the team, but the hope had been a guy like Heinen would emerge. The hope had been Hoglander would find a way to, you know, build on what he did last season, and that obviously hasn't happened. And if Lekker Mäki can be that answer, what kind of else do you want to see from this forward group? Like, do you want to see them maybe add another four they can play in the top six, or would you rather see if they could make it work and get something more out of the guys they currently have?
Well, the first get or want is a D. And that's even when everybody is helping and playing at their best. The hole for me and Cole and Zadorov has not been filled. So you need somebody there if we're talking playoff and success. That's the first spot. Then if a player like Lekker Mäki, obviously the thing about those ones is you don't really expect it. And if all of a sudden a player rises out of nowhere, it's, found money or whatever, house money. So that would be tremendous, because now it's a spot you don't have to fill with assets, with other players or whatever to kind of fill your need. It just comes from within. And that's where the thing, we have had a lot of call-ups this year that have not looked out of place. Baines have had some good games. Sasson's obviously here for a while now. Lekker Mäki's been in and out. Giuseppe have been doing his place when he's been here as well. So they have a lot of players who can come in, but we haven't had any come in and really grab the reins and say, hey, this is my spot. I'm going to take it and run with it. I'm not going to let it go. And that's where you can hope that Lekker Mäki, he has the tools, the skills that will set him apart from the other players that are fine hockey players, but they're not top six. They're not players we expect to turn into 20 goal scorers, 25, pray for 30 goal scorers. He has some of those skills where if things goes right, he keeps keep learning the game, he could develop into that. We don't know that. We can hope for it. But again, you're kind of at the mercy of the players and how they evolve throughout the games, the season, the weeks, and all those things.
Yeah, Nick Hansen, our guest. You know, it's been pretty obvious. The Canucks, since losing Filip Hronek, it's been tough. I think maybe a lot of people, listeners maybe even, have underestimated just how much Filip Hronek means to this team. And then you saw what it looks like without Hughes or Hronek in the lineup, and that was even more dire. Everything we've seen over the last little while, for me, just emphasized how much this team really needs to get out and add a defenseman. But I do wonder if we're at a stage in the season, Yannick, where the front office might be wondering, like, is this the year we really want to spend assets? Do we feel like we're good enough to spend a big asset to add to this team? I wonder if they're wondering that themselves right now.
Well, you got to sort out the JT PD saga first, yeah. Because that's where the ball is. You figure that one out. If you get them going, then I'd say yes. But I don't want a one-and-done player. Again, Zadorov didn't come that expensive when we got him. I believe it was second or third round draft pick or something like that. So fairly manageable. Hronek obviously cost a lot more. But the thing is, he wasn't a one and done. So if we're talking about adding a player of that caliber, I have no problem going out first rounder or prospect or whatever it is, because if this is a player who's going to be here for 5, 6, 7 years that will help this team while this window is still open, then even if this is not the year, maybe next year is the year, or maybe the following year. And getting these guys in is obviously easier said than done. And you can't win without good Ds. It's that simple. It doesn't matter how good your forward group is, how many goals they can score. If you can't defend, you're not going to win. At some point, offense will dry up. They will go away, and you're going to need your defense. And again, it's not just the fact that you took Hronek out of the lineup when he got injured. It's the fact that it's so depleted because we didn't find a way to get players in for Cole and Zadorov. Yeah, they brought in warm bodies, but Dejan and Forbert were never going to lift the weight that they did. They were never going to be able to contribute in the same way as those two did. We see that now. I'm sure management hoped when they signed them that these two players could kind of fill that bigger, physical, in-your-face type of player, but that was not the case. And that also knows that, like, yeah, we have a need. We have a glaring need. So we need to find somebody who can anchor that second pairing that will make Susie look like a legitimate top four defenseman, because when he's anchoring that second pairing with Myers or with Dernier or with Forward or whoever he's playing with, that pairing is a little bit underwater. Whereas when he has a legitimate player that are preferably a little bit better than him, then he shines. And now the third pairing becomes that much better, because now you have a Tyler Myers playing in his rightful spot. And again, now you have depth all of a sudden.
You know, Yannick, I'm at the point now with a player like Nils Höglander, I just feel bad for him. It's been 33 games where he hasn't scored a goal. And remember last year with Mikheyev, he went in a long stretch. It was 34 games for Mikheyev before he scored a goal. And obviously he didn't, you know, get hot at the end, but scored a couple goals at the end of the season. When you're going through that type of a stretch, and even when you're playing well, you end up taking a penalty, the interference call against Josh Anderson, and even when you do good things, something bad happens. Like, how do you get out of that headspace, and how can you just work through something like that when you look at the fact that you only have 5 assists in 33 games and you haven't scored a goal, plus things just don't seem to be going your way even when you're playing hard and doing the right things?
To be honest, it's mind-boggling, because he's noticeable almost every game.
Mm-hmm.
And not noticeable just in, yeah, he's physical, he forechecks. He has scoring chances, breakaways, rushes in front of the net. I it's one of those things where you can't understand why he's not scoring. And like you said, you feel bad for him. Yeah, because he's everything you want in a hockey player. He works his butt off every single time. He forechecks. He's in your face. He generates chances, just doesn't score on them. And if he would have scored, yeah, he could have easily had 8 or 9 goals in these 30 games with the chances he's had. The outlook would have been a whole lot different, and we would have talked about him like in a whole different light. But it's one of those things where when the door shuts on you, it seems like you're never going to score again. And you need a legitimate tap-in empty net in order to get it going, because it's mental, and it weighs on you. And anytime he gets a breakaway where he's almost squeezing your stick, worried about, like, what am I going to do? Instead of the confidence when you've just scored or you scored a couple of games ago where you're like, I'm going to know where I'm going to put this. I'm going to put it right behind the goalie. It doesn't really matter where he does. So it's a funny thing. And there's no question, the longer it goes, the harder it gets. The more it gets pointed out, then you start getting sat here and there, and now it becomes even harder. So, yeah, you feel bad for him because, like I said, he has not played bad. He's noticeable. He's doing a lot of things you like. He's just not getting to production. And then he gets called on penalties here and there that are not favorable. Some call for us, some others that aren't. But it piles on a player. There's no question about that.
This next five-game segment is going to be pretty interesting. Carolina today, Toronto tomorrow, then you've got Winnipeg to close out this road swing. You come back home, you get Edmonton and the LA Kings. What do you hope to see in this next five-game stretch against playoff teams and some of the top contenders of the NHL?
Yeah, you need to see what this team is made of. Can they play like they did last night against Washington, where some of these games, we're a better team. We should have won this game outright. But scoring wasn't there. Can you skate with them, compete with them? Or are you relying on whoever is in net to get you points and scrape some through? Because a lot of that will tell how we should act on the next 6 or 7, 8 weeks until the deadline. Like, can we legitimate play against Winnipeg or against Edmonton, who very well could be our first round matchup if we don't get out of the wild card spot? And even if you do get out of the wild card spot, well, you might just get Vegas instead, which I don't know if that's any better. So if you can't compete against these teams, well, what are we doing then?
Yannick, before we let you go, Rasmus Anderson out in Calgary, he had a pretty interesting quote today. He was talking about his future in Calgary and that he wants to remain a Flame, and also mentioned this. I hate the Oilers. I hate the Canucks. And that's just the way that I am. I guess you probably felt the same way in your career. You just couldn't see yourself playing for a rival.
There's a lot of things that go into that. I don't think I ever felt like I hated the Oilers and the Flames. I'd say I have a hard time seeing myself going to Chicago in those years.
Yeah.
But again, it's one of those things when you've battled with certain teams for a while. But at the same time, like, I was in a lot of battles with San Jose. But at that point, like, it looked like a pretty darn good place if I wanted to win. So if I do get traded, that might not be the worst place I could end up. It didn't work out and all those things, hindsight. But at the end of the day, like, there are definitely certain teams for a little while here and there that you wouldn't like to go to just because you've been battled in so many battles with them and all of those things. So sometimes it's geographically and sometimes it's just because those are the teams that we end up butting heads with.
Yannick, we always appreciate the time. Thanks for this.
Yeah, thank you. Take care.
There is Yannick Hansen, our Friday analyst, joining us here on Canucks Central. And a really interesting quote there from Rasmus Anderson. I guess you can check him off the list, Sat. He's not going to be on the radar for a Canucks trade, it doesn't look like.
No, but at the same time, I would say that if, for instance, the Calgary Flames decide they're not going to sign Rasmus Anderson because they have Mackenzie Weegar signed long-term. They have Zane Parikh coming, and that means they have a couple righty defensemen. They have more prospects, too. Now, I'm not sure Hunter Brustevich is going to end up being, you know, a big-time player, but another righty. So they have some options when it comes to righty defensemen. Are they going to keep Weegar and Rasmus Anderson long-term plus Zane Parikh and pay a premium for those two when you have Zane Parikh coming as your future franchise, you know, point-producing defenseman and power play quarterback? Now, we'll see how he develops, but that's kind of what he projects to be, at least a power play quarterback type that's going to put up a lot of points. And let's say he is available via trade. Is he not going to come to Vancouver?
Yeah.
Like, if they trade him to Vancouver, is he going to just hate it here? I don't know. I think it's one of those things where I agree. It doesn't look like right now he's getting traded. But if he were to be put on the trade block at some point,
mm-hmm.
does that mean we cross the Canucks off? I'm not quite sure.
I guess there was probably points in... I mean, I don't want to speak for them, but it was weird to see both Jacob Markstrom and Chris Tanev end up signing for the Calgary Flames. Maybe when you're a free agent and the most money that's on the table is one of the teams that you were a rival of previously, maybe that changes the conversation a little bit. And we just saw it with Kiefer Sherwood, played against the Canucks in the playoffs, shows up in Vancouver. Yeah, I'll play for those guys. Vincent Desharnais with the Edmonton Oilers comes over to Vancouver. Yeah, I'll play with those guys. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't always work out this way, but you don't often see a quote like that. And personally, I appreciate Rasmus Anderson's candor in all
yeah,
of this.
For sure. I mean, I love the quote.
Yeah.
I'm just not sure I'm going to hold it to him 100%.
It's Dan Riccio and Satyar Shah. Coming up, we've got the Open. We know the Canucks are looking for defensemen, but what else could this roster use? That's coming up in the Open on Canucks Central.